meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Greetings. Once again, this is Mike Stark filling in for Father Anthony, who's hopefully someplace warm and enjoying unlike Chicago weather. We finally got some of our Chicago winter here. We had a nice December, but we knew after all the snow we got in November that we'd be seeing some of the white stuff again, and boy, did it hit us good. Nobody was ready for that. On today's show, I have my very, very good friend, Mr. Guy Murphy, who I've known for some time now, of Totally Yours, and he does pilgrimages, as well as he has two conferences a year that we're gonna get into his pilgrimages and his conferences. I hope everyone out there has the opportunity to enjoy one of his conferences coming up. We got one coming up in April, but in the meantime, I'd like to introduce my friend Guy Murphy. And Guy, you're a chemical engineer, and now you're all about Our Lady and Medjugorje and all these holy places. You take people there basically for peanuts, because I know talking to other people, and you and I've talked about it, you don't charge anything. You just cover the cost so these people can go. So why don't you go on that?
All right. Very good. First of all, it's great to be here, Mike.
And I do appreciate all the good work that not only you do with all your evangelization, but also everybody at this radio station. Way to go. So, yes, it was actually, I was a typical Catholic, grew up and went to 8 years of Catholic grade school, high school, and Catholic College at Loyola before going to the engineering at Illinois Institute of Technology. And I was just kind of plugging along in my life as an engineer, and I heard about miracles happening in this place called Medjugorje. And I go, miracles? I thought everything in our faith happened 2,000 years ago. I didn't realize anything new happened today. So I had to check this out for myself. And actually, once I thought about going there and investigating it, that was the first time I realized, you know, I don't know anything about the faith. And I said, well, I'm going to start paying attention. But the more I paid attention, the more I realized, no, I get zero. So I took a little test, and I got 0 out of 100. I go, oh, my gosh, after all that Catholic education, all just the fundamental basics of the faith, what was going on in Mass, what's going on with the faith. I never would pay attention. When I get into Mass, I would go into robot mode. I knew the bells would hit me, and I know when to stand, when to sit, and that. But my mind would be either on the ballpark or thinking about some girls I'm going to chase around or something like that. Or even some science project. You're always into something, but my body was there, but my mind was somewhere else. But now, when something real was happening, it started me to understand, you know, I've been robot mode for a long time. So it got me nervous that I didn't know anything. So I go, I'm going to have to read the Bible for myself. So I took a whole year and I plowed through it. And I'll just share you the one little story. My favorite story was about a battle between the mountains. We had David and the people of God on one side, and this big, invincible, 9-foot giant Goliath, who everybody's afraid of, on the other side. And he blasphemed God, and he goes, your God is a joke, and you guys are a bunch of wimps. And he challenged them. He goes, send your best man to fight me one-on-one. If he wins, we're going to be your slaves. But if Goliath wins, he wins, he goes, you'll be slaves to us. So David, he had what the engineers would call this breakthrough in technology. And I actually have a patent on heat exchangers, and that's this dream of every inventor. You get this breakthrough in technology, and it gives you this edge over the competition. So when I saw him take this little sling, I go, oh, this is great. I love this. And he goes out to challenge Goliath or accept this challenge. He stops at a brook and he pulls out five smooth stones. Now, this detail of the five stones just drove me bananas. I go, David, you're the inventor. You got him in one shot. All right, maybe two, get a backup. But what are you doing with these five smooth stones? Anyways, he took five stones. First one hits him in the head, crushes his head. He chops this off and the people of God win. Anyways, about a year later, I finished a Bible. I took another test. I still got 0 out of 100. I still couldn't tell you one thing about the faith. And I remember, I go, wait a second, I'm approaching this all wrong. I remember some people say the left brain is for math and science. And I was always good at math and science, but the right brain is for liberal arts. And I was never good at liberal arts. And I figured religion must be so far right-brained, I was never going to understand anything. I was always going to get that 0 out of 100. I remember one day coming to the conclusion I was right-brained retarded. And that's just the way it was. So I go, I'm not going to let that spoil my trip, though. I'm going to have to go out there and approach Medjugorje from a scientific standpoint, something I could handle. And so I was fooling around with this about 6 years, and finally I signed up a group, and I went there in 1989. And I get out there in Medjugorje.
There was a war going on over there then, wasn't there?
This is just before the war. Just later on, I did go in the war, but this is before. It was still communist, though. It was communist under Tito at the time in Yugoslavia. And I get out there, and people are going, Guy, do you feel that peace? Feel peace? And I go, I don't feel anything. I go, how do you feel peace? Do I measure it with a thermometer? I couldn't understand how to measure this peace. Anyways, so I'm going around and checking this, and people start telling me about this miracle of the sun that they saw on previous trips. And they say, you know, the sun started dancing and spinning. And I listen to them. I go, you know, they're telling the truth. However, these simple people from this third world country don't know a high-tech laser show when they see it. So I got out there, I start mapping out where the electricity was running, and I'm going to find these laser projection sites. And when everybody's looking at the miracle of the sun, I was going to catch them and go, hey, here's the miracle of the projection site, here's the laser projection, hey, I got you. And I was going to catch them cheating, and all's in the weak work. So this is how engineers have fun. Anyways, I get out there, and day one comes no miracle. Day two comes no miracle. And I'm like annoying everybody because I'm digging up holes and whatnot. And somebody says, hey, Guy, you have to pray. I go, pray? What's that going to do? You know, we got to get to the bottom of this. And so I half believe Medjugorje was true. So I kind of was reading some of her messages, and I climbed up the top of this Mount Križevec, this big mountain with this big 14-ton cross. And I never prayed to the Blessed Mother before. I had this attitude. She's a little girl, you know, 18-year-old Jewish girl. She has her opinions. I have my opinions. So my first prayer I say to him, I said to the Blessed Mother, I go, hey, Mary, it's me, Guy. I'm here from Chicago. I tell you what, give me your best shot. And I tell you what, I'm going to give you my best shot. If you win, I'm going to do whatever you say. If I win, I'm going to defeat Medjugorje. And I felt like this challenge was accepted. So I...
But who are you to defeat Medjugorje? In the first place, why Medjugorje? Why didn't you go to Fatima, or why didn't you go to Lourdes, or some of these other places? Why did you pick Medjugorje?
I heard about Fatima and Lourdes, but that happened in the past. But this is something where she's appearing now here, and miracles are going on today.
Okay.
Even today, this day, now, she's going to appear today.
Okay, that makes sense.
And appear to him. So I thought, let's go where the action is. You know, let's go where the miracles are happening. I want to see it when it's happening for myself. I don't want to rely on what people saw 100 years ago. You know, give me the experience. But I was getting nothing until I went to pour the issue. So I shoot off my mouth to her, and in my heart, I felt it was accepted. And I never prayed the rosary before, but I even want to lift up the rosary, and I want to say, hey, what is it with the silly rosary prayer? Because so I lift it up, and the first unusual thing happened to Medjugorje. I want to say this out loud, and I was stifled. My mouth just went, I go, what was that? Something closed my mouth. I go, there's a logical explanation. I'm top of this mountain acting like an idiot.
She should do that to some people today, in politics especially.
I go, I'm acting like an idiot. My subconscious has taken over. It's a logical explanation. And so I just stick up my rosary and I go, you know what I mean. But I felt it was accepted, so I zipped down the mountain. So now the next day comes. It's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. 30 years ago, by the way, December 8th, 1989, we get out of the church. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, all of a sudden, everybody starts seeing the miracle of the sun. And I go, oh, great, it's going to happen. I thought the whole trip was going to go by and nothing. So I look up, and what happens? It burns my eyes. And I say right away, there's a logical explanation for this. You know, with engineers, there's a logical explanation for everything. So I go, I happen to be standing in the side yard, and I was digging up a hole looking for underground wires. I go, I'm at a bad angle. You know, I have to be over by them to see it. So I left my little pile of mud and I went over by them and I looked it up at the sun, and what happened? It burned my eyes again. I go, there's got to be a logical explanation. My eyes have to be a little more sensitive. I put my sunglasses on. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I look up, burn my eyes again. So now I'm a little rattled.
You need new sunglasses.
Yeah. So I'm pacing back and forth, trying to find an explanation. I go, I remember from physics that even if these people are trying to look at the sun, if there's a solar, if there's a laser show going on, it's not going to stop the solar radiation from burning my eyes. I have it figured out, this logical explanation. I'm the only idiot who's looking at the sun. You know, they're all squinting. So I walked around the other side to them, and I had my tape recorder, and I would look right into their eyes. And lo and behold, their eyes were wide open, and they're saying, look at it go, look at it go. Now, my brain could not process that. I had to look up, and I looked up at the sun. What happened? It burned it again. Now, I got stuck, and there's got to be a logical explanation. But there was eight people lined up. I looked through each one of their eyes, and their eyes were wide open. And they were in awe. They go, look at that beautiful sun color. And I couldn't stop. I had to keep on looking up. Of course, it burned my eyes. Finally, my eyes get such bad black spots in it. My head was splitting. I go, I got to get the heck out of here. And I left, and I literally walked through the streets, barely confused. I was really repeating my name and address over. I go, my name is Guy Murphy. I live at 22W. I was so blown away that they should be blind for as long as they've seen it. I should have been blind for as long as they've seen it. And all of a sudden, I trip in a pothole, and I bounce off a sign, and then I realize these black spots are still in my eyes. I go, great, you know, I'm blind. And I knew all my
Saul.
Saul. My parents and all my engineering friends are saying, don't go to Medjugorje, don't go to Medjugorje. And then I'm going to come home. They're going to say, how's your trip? And I'm going to say, hi, I'm blind. And I go, oh, what an idiot. You know, out of everybody who knew shit better, it should have been me. I was so humiliated, I started kicking myself in the pants. All around, there's this one big road that goes all around Medjugorje, this one big 3-mile road. And I'm going all the way around, and my eyes don't clear up. So after halfway around, I start begging God, God, I'll do whatever you say with the rest of my life. Please, give me my sight back. And I'm making all these prompts.
You were blind like Saul was blinded.
Well,
a little bit? I mean, maybe you're the modern-day Paul?
Picture if you have black spots, if somebody takes a camera, flashes it in your eyes, you have these black spots. And I could see a little bit out of my peripheral vision, but I couldn't see clear, so I'm kind of stumbling around Medjugorje. And So I'm climbing up Apparition Hill on the other side of the town,
right.
And I fell a few times because I couldn't see so well. I'm all full of dirt, and I'm sitting down on a rock where she first appeared, on this place called Apparition Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see her with my eyes or hear with my ears, but something strange goes on in my heart. She was there brushing me off. It's like Our Lady was there brushing me off. And she just kept on repeating this over and over. And I didn't hear it with my ears, but she started saying, Jesus forgives. Jesus forgives. Jesus forgives. And she even helped me to my feet because I was full of dirt. And she was brushing off my pants saying, Jesus forgives. And then she said, do you want to help? And I just responded. I go, sure. And with that, I felt a kiss right in my forehead. It was like, just like that in my forehead. Now, if you look up at the sun, your eyes only burn. You feel a pain in the bridge of your nose. This pain was so bad, it felt like somebody took a baseball bat and whacked me in the head. But when I felt this kiss, I felt a tingling feeling. This pain instantly went away. My eyes cleared up and I could see, and I just jumped up off the rock and I was like, yes! And I'd run down the hill and I ran across the field of grapes. I just kept on repeating, yes, yes, yes. And I went home. So I had a little attitude adjustment. So we praise the Lord for
what about the miracle? Did you see the miracle sun after that?
Well, it turns out I did, but the first time I didn't. But my miracle was seeing other people see it. So a year and a half later, I get home. First thing I do, I go, I got to let these engineers know. So I write them a letter and says, these guys are no dummies. When they know about it, they'll figure it out for themselves. So I wrote them a letter and I started sending them letter to with that. So I'll let you know what happened after with those letters after the break there.
Okay, well, I'll just let Guy take us to break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyola.
We live in strange times, full of contradictions, many of which we create and then force upon ourselves. An example.
To hear the rest of this and other Bold Talks with Father Thomas Loya, visit taberlife.org and go to the main menu and click subscribe.
Righty then, we're back, and you know, I like to play with the music coming out of the breaks. I think it adds a little something to the show, and plus people don't have to listen to me as much. So it makes my airtime less, but makes it more enjoyable for the listeners out there. But that song from a fun movie that I remember watching growing up, had a great soundtrack, as a matter of fact, but has some meaning to you, Guy.
Yes. Well,
I asked you what you wanted to hear, and you said, I like Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta. No, you didn't say that, but you said, there's a song called You're the One That I Want.
Right. Well, that particular song, a lot of times some of the words of certain songs, I just change a few words of it, and all of a sudden it kind of applies to both myself and Blessed Mother and then also the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But you see how Olivia says, my heart is reflect on you. Sorry about that. Thank you. My heart is on you. And John DeVoe says, I'm losing control. And he goes, there's something about you that's mystifying. That's what actually happened to me after Medjugorje. You know, my life was as an engineer was so ordered and so controlled. And all of a sudden, I'm like losing total control. And all of a sudden, I'm going on all these prayer groups and learning all about the Blessed Mother. And I'm acting, you know, kind of strange as far as engineers were concerned. And I'm sharing this with all my engineering friends. And all of a sudden, we ended up, one of them says, hey, Guy, next time you go, let us know we're going to go back too. So we end up going back to Medjugorje. And year and a half later, 1991, and that's when we both saw the miracle of the sun. We both saw it. We're standing next to each other, and we looked up, and what it looks like the Holy Communion in front of the sun. And just
I know I've seen it.
Yes,
it happened to me when I went.
Yes,
with you. It did
Michael
happen.
Stark got to see that too.
And I was skeptical. I was really skeptical.
Now, he looked at it and he goes, Guy, what's this white disc doing in the sun? I go, that's the Holy Communion. You know, don't you see it? It looks exactly like it. Now, why this was important to me is I didn't know growing up that the Holy Communion was actually God under the appearance of bread, our mighty God, infinitely powerful. Here I am. I'm thinking it's a piece of bread that I'm eating everything. And here I am. I'm a troubleshooting engineer. I have to keep track of all the heat mass balances. And our Blessed Mother is saying, no, that's not just a piece of bread. This is your God. This is the all-powerful God. And I didn't believe her at first. I go, how could you say that? Are you trying to tell me my whole life there's something more powerful than a firecracker, more powerful than a stick of dynamite, more powerful than the sun? God himself is going in my body every week when I go to Mass, and I have no clue, and I'm supposed to be tracked of all this energy. There's no way I can miss that. So needless to say, I'm always arguing with the Blessed Mother, and I would go to the library, and sure enough, she was, according to the teaching of the church, yes, the number one thing in the faith, the Eucharist is God. Of course, I go to the Mass next time, and go, all right, I'm going to, with my new faith here, I'm going to see the Eucharist as God. He holds up the bread. I don't see God there. I still see a piece of bread. And I realize, though, it's not only a journey of knowledge, it's going from the head to the heart. And that's where some grace takes place. And so I knew it's one thing to understand it on the book. But now, fast forward, we're here in Medjugorje. Now we're seeing this miracle of the sun. The Holy Communion is blocking the rays of the sun. Now, the mind of this knucklehead engineer here, I see this, wow.
That Nick, he's not talking about you.
I see this this host is more powerful than the sun because it's blocking the sun. And that really helped me appreciate, this is God I have coming into my body on Sundays. So thank you, Our Lady. She really helped me out to understand that concept and that grace in Medjugorje.
That's really what it is, because I went with you a couple of years ago, and you know, we were talking about the miracle of the sun. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And at that time, I was going through, you know, my own tough time. And I was over there. I didn't even know why I was over there other than you kept asking me, do you want to go? I'm like, do I bring my golf clubs? I mean, it's summertime. I can't. There's nothing to do there. And you said, you and Father Mike Grezik, who will be appearing next week on the show, by the way, said, you pray. I'm like, wait, we go to this country that's just rocks and mountains. It's over in Bosnia, Herzegovina, you know, this area that was war-torn. That's all I knew about it. And I pray, and then they do the masses in these other languages. Like, that's, for me, I'm like, that's not something I wanted to do, but it just happened that, obviously, through some interesting circumstances that I was told, nudged by God, by Our Lady, to go with you. So then I went up the mountain, I came down the mountain, and I all of a sudden looked over the sun, and there it was. Now, I'm calling BS like you were trying to. I'll call BS on anyone who thinks they're, you know, oh, there's magic or there's this or there's that. But I'm looking at the sun, and I'm like, what the heck? Because it is. It's blocked. And like you just said, to block the sun, nobody blocks the sun. It's like he's got a filter on the sun. And just for me, anyway, it's just like a little rim. It's like a ring of fire, Johnny Cash. Around the sun. There's a ring of fire around the sun. And the middle of it's got a filter. I mean, it's still the sun. You can tell it's still the sun, but there's something in front of it that's only concealing everything except the edge, which is just like a ring of fire going around. And you really see the... Because looking at the sun normally, you don't realize that it's a fireball. It just looks like a, you know, intense light. So your point is well taken on my end because I thought you were full of crap.
And then when you look at that, this thing you're saying that's blocking that powerful race, it looks exactly like the Holy Communion that the Father lifts up and thinks.
Yes,
so it helps you appreciate then, wow, the true presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, which, you know, it's a huge step for the Catholics to go from the head to heart in that one. So thanks, Blessed Mother. That's why God sends her, I think, to help us to take that journey. So I remember my friend saying, Guy, he goes, he's trying to digest it when he was out there in 91, when we first saw that miracle for ourselves. And I remember later on that evening, he's pacing back and forth, and he says, wait a second, I don't think we've seen a miracle. And he's trying to just, and I go, yeah, uh-huh, and I'm just reading my book. And he goes, look, there's a logical explanation for this. And I go, let me hear it. He goes, look, we don't make it a practice to look at the sun at home. The time when we saw it was during the time of the apparition.
Answer, right?
Yeah,
right.
It was during the time of the apparition, 6:40 in the evening. The sun was low enough in our sky, our eyes happened to adjust to it. It made it look like there's a disc in the sun. We were able to see it. I'm like, uh-huh. And then he says something. He shoots his mouth off like that. He goes, I'd have to have it see it the same time of day and have it burn my eyes before I believe. And all of a sudden in my heart, I'm like, yes. I could hear that Blessed Mother. I made him say it again. What did you say, Gerald? Say that again. Blessed Mother wants to hear. He goes, I'd have to have it burn my eyes before I believe. The very next day, we come out of the We're at the church in the grounds. It's the time of the apparition. He goes, come on, Guy, let's go see the miracle. I have to test out my theory. I go, you go right ahead, Gerald. I'm going to stay here and praying. So we stay.
I'd wear some glasses. Sunglasses, that is.
We stay for I stay for the Mass and the Rosary. We come out, and I find him on a bench. And in the bench, and he's got his hands over his eyes like this. And all he says, he goes, okay, I can believe it now. I believe it now. And it wasn't until he got home, he says, Guy, he goes, everybody saw the miracle. I looked up, and it burned my eyes so bad, he goes, I couldn't see. So, you know, the Blessed Mother had to whack some sense in a couple of these engineers. So praise the Lord for that.
Well, that was another thing that happened to me, because I said to you, I said, I see it. I said, you were just kind of like, yeah, whatever. because so did most everybody else in the group. Now, there's always a couple people that don't see it. And our good friend, Father Mike Gresick, who had just been ordained at the time, was over there with us. Now, he's been there, you know, a million times himself. I mean, literally hundreds of times. And he's never seen the miracle of the sun. So when we came back, because you said, well, it happens over there. When we came back, we're driving back from O'Hare Airport after, it's a long trip, after a long time in the air and whatnot. We're driving back, and the sun's up here in Chicago as we're coming out. And I just look up at the sun, and I still see it. And he says, really, you see that? He says, I'm a priest, and I've never seen it. Not that he needs to, because he doesn't need to, because he believes he's all dialed in. He's a priest. But he said, that's pretty cool that you see it here, too. And I was out on the boat in the middle of Lake Michigan, you know, in the summer, and people are like, what are you doing, Mike? I'm like, sometimes I'm just infatuated with looking at, I'm driving on the road sometimes. As a Lord, keep me on the road. I'm just amazed that it's there. I'm heading west on a busy street, and I'm just looking up at the sun. I'm like, God will keep me on the road. And he does. I haven't had an accident yet.
Not gonna praise the Lord. No.
But bottom line, it is real. And I'm the first one to say it's not, but it's happened to be here. I mean, it happens now. I just look up at it, and it's been 4 years.
That's it's a special grace. It reminds you that God's presence is with each and every one of you. And one of the things, too, about that song, you know, the Grease song,
right,
You're the One I Want, is it turned out if anybody checks the, go on YouTube and you check the apparitions of Mariana from April 2nd, 2013.
Who's going to remember that? April 2nd. So the day after April Fool's Day, if it was on April 1st, I'd call BS.
Oh, very good. And she has the apparitions now on the monthly. And I've been to Medjugorje 80 times, but one time she allowed me to come right next to her during the apparition.
You've been there more than 80 times.
Well, maybe some are 80, 85, but I'll have to count them up again. But I got to go right next to her in the apparition. And I'll tell you, she's having this apparition, this experience where she's totally separated from heaven and earth. She's seen the Blessed Mother. She even hit me in the ribs. I mean, because she's next to me, she's moving her arms. And we were in her house, and it was so close that she moves her arms and whacks me one of the ribs. But I could sense what's going on, and you really feel the Blessed Mother's presence. And what song pops in my heart was, to me, the Blessed Mother, You're the One that I Want. She's, because, they say in Medjugorje, Our Lady says, if you know how much I love you, you would cry for joy. And her Immaculate Heart will triumph. And her Immaculate Heart is so awesome. She loves each and every one of all her children, not just the people who go to Medjugorje, not just the Catholics, but everyone in the world. If you knew how much we love you, we would run over there and just say, hey, Blessed Mother, open up my heart. Help me appreciate your presence. Excuse me, appreciate your presence that you're there. So that became real for me in Medjugorje. I got that grace in Medjugorje, so I'm very thankful for her Immaculate Heart. And I understand the more we learn about her Immaculate Heart, the more we see about how important her role is in the church and appreciating things. And I'll have to say, when I first was digesting that, I remember, you know, when I first had my conversion, I'm going to run around doing all prayer groups. My grandmother goes, Guy, he goes, you're falling in love with the Blessed Mother. And I remember hearing it, I go to her, I go, Grandma, I go, that is sick. And I insulted her because I was so offended. And she only said it again. He goes, you're falling in love with the Blessed Mother. And you know what I think? I go, oh my gosh, I go, I'm going to hell again. That seems so distorting, so right, Strange. So when everything is, once I went to Medjugorje, I thought, if I'm a good person, if I die, I'm going to go right to heaven. But the truth was, it was 10 years since I was been to confession.
Oops.
And I realized my soul is in the state of mortal sin. And if I die, I think I'm going to go right to heaven. No, down arrow, boom. And as I'm learning about the faith, you know, I was right brain retarded, knowing anything. As I learn about the faith, I'm always doing all these things in mortal sin. But all of a sudden, Our Lady's good, and she works with you. And eventually, though, she's so good and helpful, you end up falling in love with her. And then I didn't realize that, but then St. Louis de Montfort, his consecration, shows me that a holy slave of love to the Blessed Mother is the greatest way to become a saint. And it's a holy way, not a distorted way that we look at in life. So praise the Lord, and we're looking for more things from the Blessed Mother as well.
Well, and that's the other thing over in Medjugorje, I noticed, is the lines for confession. So a lot of people do go to confession over there. So think about that while we go to this commercial break, and we'll be right back after a few messages.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through eighth grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads take me home to the place.
All right, we're back, and that song is from the 70s, which reminds me of guitar masses in the 70s in church. But once again, Guy, you're the guest, and I let you pick your music.
All right, everybody, very good.
What were you thinking?
Well, once again, you change a few words of the song, and it really applies. So what that song always was instead of country road, it was narrow road, take me home to the place I belong. Medjugorje, Jesus Mother, my home. Basically, so you just kind of change the words, but it really fits. And if you listen to him, he says he hears a voice in the morning. But anyways, you kind of listen to that. But that's what Our Lady does. She puts us on the narrow road to take us to Jesus Christ. This, her Triumph of the Immaculate Heart, basically it's a pilgrimage into the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And what I find out by hanging on around the Blessed Mother more, the more you learn about her Immaculate Heart, how sensitive it is, how much full of love it is, the more you appreciate Jesus' Sacred Heart, because Jesus is a guy, you don't think of his heart being sensitive, or you don't think of it being full of love, but all of a sudden, again...
I actually do.
Well, that's a grace, but I had to get that grace through the Blessed Mother.
Right.
Once I learned her more, then all of a sudden I see how closely united that her are in Jesus, and how his Sacred Heart, like when he's sweating blood in the agony in the garden, he's not worried about his crucifixion, he's worried about not saving us, his children. He loves them so much that he's doing every he can to save us, and here we are kind of blowing them off. And so it's always good to help have Our Lady help us to, hey, let's console that sorrowful heart. Let's do that little extra. You know, she'll have you do a little few extra prayers, few extra penances. Let's take that extra step to Jesus Christ. And now Jesus Christ, he's my God, he's my friend, and I love him dearly, and I thank all that because of Blessed Mother, because that's kind of what her little simple school of faith takes us to. She puts us on that narrow road. Take me home. Praise the Lord.
Well, you know, it's interesting because our Protestant friends always are asking us Catholics, well, why the rosary? Why are you praying to why don't you just pray to God? Why are you praying to Mary? And sometimes people will insult Mary, and I don't understand personally. I'm gonna let you address this, but I don't understand personally how ripping on somebody's mom is gonna make the son happy. Now, you pick some Italian guy in a tough neighborhood, and you say something about his mother, you know he's gonna fight you for it.
Very good.
And you don't think Jesus is a little offended that people are like disregarding Mary? We're not idolizing. We're not statue worshiping. We're using her like you would a picture in your wallet to remind you of her and her love. And there's a reason why we're praying the rosary obviously most people know why, but what is your thought on, you know, the fact that some people don't necessarily believe we need to pray a rosary or pray to Mary or ask for her intercession?
Very good. Well, that's very well said about how much people like to honor their mother. But yeah, well, I was the one who had the problem with the rosary. So it was the repetition of it. And again, even my whole devotion to Mary before going to Medjugorje, I remember I had this attitude, I pray to God myself. What do I need her for?
Right.
Now, I say that, but in reality, what is this? Here I am, so full of pride. I had no clue what was going on in the church. Got 0 of 100. My prayer life.
I find that hard to believe because you're one of the smartest guys, pun intended, I know.
Because it has to do with, you're smart with math and science, but when it comes to things that had deal with that, I just never paid attention. I was too proud. I thought I was above that stuff, so I figured everybody knows it, but when I really wanted to learn it, I was not there. But back to the rosary now. All right, so she bossed me in the head in 89, and I challenged her. I go, I'll do whatever you say if you win. I go, she beat me fair and square.
Right.
And now her messages are what? Pray the rosary every day. She was asking for 15 whole decades, by the way, and I said, hey, let's not get crazy here, blessed mother. I'll give you 5. You won fair and square. I'm going to give you 5 decades, only because you won, even though I think this is a little old lady prayer. I go, what about us engineers? We need prayers too. But she wants, I'm going to do this. And then she's also asking for confession and scared me to death, but now I like going to confession. And Mass, she's asking for the Bible. Thanks. You have a great Bible app, which helps her mission of praying the Bible. Anyways,
it's okay.
And fasting. We all run away from fasting. But so I'd be praying the rosary, and I'd be doing the Hail, and the repetition started getting to me. I started saying, after all, Hail Mary, full of grace. And I started saying, this is an insult to my intelligence. Hail Mary, full of grace. This is an insult to my intelligence. And when I would pray this way, what would happen? I would relive this experience in Medjugorje, where I remember myself challenging her. I feel the lights blinding my eyes. My life is over, and I'm thinking, oh, and I go, okay. And I knew Blessed Mother was making me remember that. And I go, hey, wait, cut it out, cut it out. I remember, I'm praying. When I got back from Medjugorje, I knew two things. The first two things on my list of 100. Number one, you don't go about the Catholic faith. You don't climb up on Mount Križevec and give the Blessed Mother any lip. You know, I totally didn't know that before, and now I knew that now. I go, yeah, you don't, because just like you said, you can't insult God's Mother, but I didn't know that before. But the second thing she said, even though we don't think so, Jesus and Mary are very close to each and every one of you. But what we have to do is open up our hearts, and we realize that they're there and how much they love us. So I get back to Medjugorje. I know she's there. She wants me to pray, but I don't still like this rosary. So as I would be complaining about being an insult to my intelligence, I relive this experience. I feel like I'm blind in my life. But then this goes on not only for 1 or 2 days, every day for 3 months. At the end of 3 months, I'm praying my rosary, Hail Mary, full of grace. I start saying, this is an insult to my intelligence. I relive the experience, and I go, I can't help it, Blessed Mother. This is a silly prayer. And I looked at somebody gave me a rosary pamphlet. First joyful mystery, the Annunciation. Fruit of the mystery, humility. What does humility have to do with the Annunciation? Humility is what you did to me in Medjugorje. You bopped me in the head like David bopped Goliath in the head. And then I realized the light went on. They know that everything in the Old Testament kind of foreshadows and fulfilled in the New Testament. And all of a sudden, I heard the visionaries in Medjugorje talking about the rosaries being the weapon. And now I saw David's sling. Now, picture that little sling that he had that he was whipping around to get Goliath.
Right.
I saw his sling as a foreshadowing to fulfillment. If you take your rosary and you hold it by the cross and you dangle that loop around.
He's doing that right now, folks. So you can't see it, but I can.
And it looks just like David's sling.
Right.
That he would sling around, and that's what he got it. Now, remember that detail where he ran to the brook and he got 5 smooth stones?
Right.
That's a detail. Well, how many decades are there in this rosary?
5.
5 decades of the rosary. So I realized, I go, wait, now I know 3 things about the faith. You know, the rosary is the weapon. This is how we beat the devil in our world, just like David beat Goliath. Goliath kind of foreshadowed the Antichrist. And this is the only weapon God sends. God chooses to have it. So What do I do? Typically, I learn three things. I start patting myself on the back. I go, hey, I learned something about this. I go, wait a second, time out here. I'm on the wrong side. I go, she hit me with that weapon. I got hit right between the eyes.
Right.
When I got blinded, I got that pain right between the eyes. I go, you bopped me in the head. Like, I go, oh, my gosh. I go, I'm on the receiving end of this. And as she's helping me through my conversion.
She didn't die.
I know. At least she didn't cut my head off. Right. Yeah. So she's a good winner. And then as you're learning through the faith, I'm always on the wrong side. Well, I'm in mortal sin, this. But, you know, she's good. She's like cleaning the dirty diapers. She works with you. And then you kind of fall in love with her in a holy way, like a Heavenly Mother, and her Immaculate Heart is so special. And eventually then, you start looking at what the rosary really is when you start meditating on the mysteries. It's looking at life of Jesus Christ through a very privileged perspective, that of his mother, the one who knew him the most, the one who loved him the best, the one who served him the most. And now what is it? Who loved Jesus Christ more than Mary? Nobody. So you get to see the baby Jesus. Nobody else was there, but you start loving baby Jesus. You get to know about who baby Jesus was through these mysteries of the rosary. So that rosaries is not just the Our Fathers and the Hail Marys, but you're looking at the mysteries. Now, Mike Stark has a very good Truth in Life Bible. We made a scripture rosary, actually. It's called In the Weapon, the Medjugorje book. We have it on our website. If I could push, always promote
go
that.
Right ahead.
Medj1.com.
You're going to promote me. I'm all over that.
Yeah, Medj1.com. We have a scripture rosary in back of this whole story, which a lot of the neat things happen in this conversion story called The Weapon of Medjugorje. But in the back, we have the scripture door. Scripture decades, and we started taking some of the Truth in Life Bible quotes and tied to the scripture, and they made it even more powerful.
So you made audio clips from the audio Bible.
Some audio clips. So it's just wonderful. So what is the rosary? It's the weapon that's going to renew the church. Because why? Because you're going to get to know who Jesus Christ really is. I didn't know even before Medjugorje, I didn't even know Jesus Christ was God. I didn't even appreciate it. I didn't know who he was, though. I had this kind of image of him, but when you really start meditating on those mysteries, you get the joyful mysteries all about his birth, the luminous mysteries all about his great miracles, his life, the sorrowful mysteries, how he paid the price to save me and you from everlasting fires of hell to bring us to glories of heaven, and the glorious mysteries, it's his triumph, and to the crowning of Mary is called the glorification of the elect. You are called, I am called, to be in heaven one day to get the beatific vision of God, the great wow, where everything's fulfilled. And that's what the rosary leads us to. So it's like a catechism, a summary of the entire Bible. So it's the best, awesome prayer that will renew the church once we start applying it the correct way. Not just, sometimes people do pray the rosary the wrong way. They just kind of rip through, you know, kind of make a rattle, and then it kind of annoys people like me who are engineers or probably annoys Protestants. But really pray with the heart. That's the message of Medjugorje. You pray with the heart and the Holy Spirit. Get that soul in the state of grace. Come on, clean that up. You start praying, and the Holy Spirit's going to go right through you. Then all of a sudden, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, God's going to speak to you this way while you pray the rosary. She's going to get you by the hand. She's going to take you by the hand when you have the rosary. She's the spouse of the Holy Spirit. She's going to fill you with all this good stuff while you pray the rosary.
Kevin Matthews, who you know, you had him speak at one
of
your conferences.
Yes, he did a great job.
He was the number one radio personality in Chicago for a long, long time. He is so in love. I joke with Father Grezik and other people, Father Looney, who's written a book called The Rosary Litany, which is a great way for you to meditate on each decade of the rosary with an interjection, like Louis de Montfort did. But
yes, I like Father Looney's books as well. They're great.
Yeah, it's very good, called The Rosary Litany. It's available online somewhere. But the point is, I joke with these other guys saying nobody loves Mary more than Kevin Matthews. And that's funny because he's got his Broken Mary book and whatnot. But he says, I'm a dog of God. Now, what is a dog of God? Well, dog of God is according to Kevin, and Kevin's going to be appearing on the show in a couple weeks as well, February 7th, because he's in to get an award on the 9th. But he says, we have to fight for our God. We need to fight for our religion because too many people are disconnected. If we want to end abortion, we need to pray the rosary. We need to go to Our Lady. We need to go to Mary for this. So I'm a dog of God, and the rosary is my chain. And he says, if I'm holding the rosary, I feel like I'm holding the Blessed Mother's hand. So if I'm holding the rosary, I am holding her hand, and she is in control of me, and I'm here to do, like you said, whatever she wants. And he is promoting obviously we've added his Broken Mary website to our Truth and Life Bible app, where you can pray the rosary along with Kevin. But he's all about Mary and what you just said, and it's so true. And unfortunately, in today's world, so many people that come to church are robotic like you, you know, to punch in, punch out. You tip your hand in the water and go, Body of Christ, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen, boom, I'm in. And then you listen to the priest talk, and you listen to the readings, and you go through the motions, you get your communion, and you walk out, and you tap out, you know, Body, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you're out. And if you ask maybe more than 50% of the people who were in that building, what was the homily about? What was the point? What was the readings? What did you just undertake? What was that all about? And they'd be like, yeah. So with that, we're headed to another commercial break. And when we get back, Guy and I'll we'll talk a little bit about what you actually do. We've talked a lot about your conversion, but now it's time to talk about your tours, your pilgrimages, and your conferences. We'll be right back.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation one way or the other.
All right, we're back, and Guy, tell us the meaning of your analysis of that song and what meaning that has to you.
All right, ooh, I hear laughter in the rain with the one I love. All right, so what happened, I'm checking out everything that has to do with the Blessed Mother, and then apparitions had started at Queen of Heaven Cemetery in Hillside, Illinois, and to a Joe Reinholtz.
Just west of here, I mean, literally 20, 30 minutes west, depending on the traffic.
They went from 91 to 96, and the Archdiocese of Chicago actually gave an imprimatur to the messages. So there's about 275 messages. A lot of them had to do with both the importance of Fatima and Medjugorje, the tie into there, and it helps us basically to do her simple school of faith. But I was getting drawn there more and more, and then Joe Reinholtz, the war started then in Medjugorje, I should say in Bosnia, in former Yugoslavia in the summer of 1991. And so we didn't go that 1991, we didn't go there, but we all wanted to go back to Medjugorje, but it was the wartime. And so now it's the coming up in 92, Joe Reinholtz, the visionary there, gets the message from Blessed Mother. She said, go ahead, you could go there on a pilgrimage, I'll protect you. And we all believed it in our hearts. We wanted to go so much.
So how many people did you lose on the trip?
No, this is before I was doing trips. I was just a pilgrim. I go, okay, let's go.
Okay.
So I signed up. So I signed up, but now I made a deal with the Blessed Mother.
You and that deals with the Blessed Mother. I mean,
she
how
would,
about $1 million you're winning the lottery or something.
She would
like that,
have me come out to the cross and pray every day. And I go, let's make a deal, Blessed Mother. Right? If it's raining, if I'm not going to get too crazy. If it's raining out, I'm not coming. And so I would go out there and I'd be praying. And all of a sudden, it would hit me, you know, if I found myself golfing in the rain. And I go, oh, I'm golfing in the rain and I can't go out praying in the rain. And then she doesn't let me get away with that. She hollers me. I go, shoot, I got to go. All right, so here's where you draw the line. If it's lightning, all right, I'm going to go up praying in the rain. But if it's thunder and lightning out, this is where I make, this is where I draw the line. I won't go in the thunder. So that was our deal. And all of a sudden, one day at the cross, I had just signed up for this trip to go to Medjugorje during the war. And what happens is a big thunderstorm out where we're going across the parade. I go, you remember our deal, Blessed Mother. I'm not going out because it's lightning bolts. And I turn around and I'm leaving. And I go, shoot, I'm depending on her to protect me from all those, all the war zone over there, protect me from there's sniper fire, there's cannons going off, there's bombs going off.
Right.
She's got to make it. So I turn back and I go, I got to go. And I'm going back to think, another big lightning bolt hits and I turn around again. And I go, no, I got to go. So I get out there and it's pouring rain out. Everybody's holding their umbrella. I just put my umbrella down. And I go, look, those umbrellas are like lightning rods. So I just sit there. I was getting soaked. And then that song came to my heart.
Oh,
and all of a sudden, I knew Our Lady's presence was there. You know, Joel Rhino's looking up the Blessed Mother. I see his presence. I feel her presence there. And I go, there's lightning. We're going to be okay. She's going to protect us. And it was boom, boom. And then that song, I Hear Laughter in the Rain with the One I Love.
Right.
And it was a really powerful. And we went to that trip. Fantastic. The war was going on, but you felt as safe as a baby in his mother's arms. And after that, I started doing my own pilgrimages. Now, nobody in his right mind starts a pilgrimage company going to war zone country where everybody else runs away. But that's how totally you're started.
Are you in the right mind?
No. So either I'm
later.
In love. I'm crazy in love with Jesus and Mary. So and that was a calling. So I go, I'm going to do it. You know, this we're going to go because she says she's going to protect. And we felt it. And you heard you heard the bombs echoing in the mountains.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't lightning and thunder.
In the heart, you felt as safe as a baby in a mother's arms.
Okay.
And I started doing some really wild things, which we could get on another time. But yeah. And were they, you know, I was still early in my conversion, so I was doing a lot of stupid things. So we'll get over that. But anyways, that's how I started Totally Yours. I should say that's how Blessed Mother got me to start Totally Yours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how our prices are so cheap, because who were they? Who are our pilgrims? They're just our average guys in the prayer groups. Our Lady's Army are all just your average Joes are on their last dollar and do this. We have always had this good deal to get them going. And then so we started going first to Medjugorje, then seeing John Paul II and in Rome. And we started out to Italy. Then we started getting Lourdes and Fatima. Now Guadalupe, Mexico. We go all over the world. And we do the conferences also because...
Well, let's back up on the trips. Like, I know you'll go from like Rome over to Medjugorje because basically you land in Rome. Like when we went over there, we flew from... Chicago to New York, New York to Rome, Rome to Croatia, and we just bussed over from there. It wasn't that bad, but so you hit a couple places, and you offer people the option, depending on what they can afford, of, you know, this trip, we're going to be in Rome for 5 days, we're going to be in Medjugorje for 5 days, you could do one or both. Mm-hmm. And what's the general cost for one of these trips? I mean, it's ridiculous, folks. I mean, it really is. Guy makes no money. I can back you on that. And you've sponsored people as well.
Yeah, if you want to go, we always have a priest or two go with us, and we always try and have a good spiritual trip, have Mass every day, the rosary, and then we try and listen to Our Lady's message to give it live and give them that powerful experience. But then we basically have less than $2,000. We do the Medjugorje ones, and about $3,200 for Italy and Medjugorje, a 16-day trip at certain times of the year.
Right.
And the Holy Land trips, too, the journey with Jesus, same thing, under $3,100. But you really want to know who Jesus Christ are, is you kind of journey with them during this trip to the Holy Land.
You call it journey with Jesus.
Yes.
And how would somebody go about signing up for one of these?
All right. Go to our website, medj1.com, or just Google Totally Yours Pilgrimages. You'll see that. M is in Mary, E is in Edward, D is in David, J is in Juliet, number1.com. Great pilgrimages, great prices. And for those who can't afford a pilgrimage, we do these conferences. We bring the amazing thing that's going all over the world to them. And we'll have some amazing things going on coming up this spring.
When's the next conference and where's the next conference?
The next conference is going to be April 6th and 7th at the Pheasant Run in St. Charles. And you can sign up on our website, medj1.com. And we have some fantastic speakers. First, this miracle worker, which we'll put Father Ubalt, we're bringing him in from Rwanda, Africa.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he has a tremendous amount. He brings the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus tells him who's healed. I've seen even amazing testimonies.
He's
of
a
people.
Healing priest.
Yes, a healing priest. He survived this
genocide.
The genocide, and he practices peace through forgiveness. It's an amazing thing. We also have this Bishop Lutheran, who is now a priest, Father Joseph Jacob, and he says, what treasures we have in the Catholic faith. Coming from a Lutheran bishop, he goes, you guys don't appreciate what great things you have here in the Catholic faith. And being a neophyte, he calls himself, he shares that with us, even like with apparitions. We don't have these apparitions there, like the hierarchy. We don't have the hierarchy.
Well, they don't have the Eucharist either.
Yes, so, and he, all those things. He goes, all these things, you don't see these great things. We have Michael O'Brien, this great singer who's also converted, and he has things. We have Dr. Ted Homa. He's a physician from the Chicagoland area who is an atheist. His wife dragged him to Medjugorje. He knew enough that it was true. A few years later, he had a near-death experience, and he encounters the devil in hell, and the Blessed Mother bails him out of it. Very powerful testimony, and now he's a good warrior for our Lord and our Lady.
Yeah, well, your conference is also, every conference you have a bishop. Like this last conference, you had Thomas Papraki, the Bishop of Springfield. You've had Bishop Rojas. You've had all the, you know, you always have a bishop.
Yep.
So your conferences, the fact that they're attended and Mass is celebrated by a bishop every single conference, that has to say something about what you're doing as well.
Yes. We try and bring not only the spiritual stuff, but we definitely keep in line with the catechism and the faith and the hierarchy. We kind of are obedient to our Holy Catholic faith. And this time we'll have Bishop Joy Alapati. He's a wonderful guy. He was born where St. Thomas landed in India, so he's here in the States, but he has a real great insights on St. Thomas. But yeah, we're very fortunate. And thanks to Cardinal George, too, because he actually helped pave the way to have the bishops come to the conferences, and Bishop Caffer as well from Joliet.
Right. Well, you know, the St. Charles show, conference show, it is kind of a show. It's a lot of stuff going on there. There's a lot of opportunity for people to really recharge their spiritual batteries at these things.
Yes, so, many people feel the presence of God, and yes, recharge your spiritual battery. You're right.
That's what you say, and again, this is affordable. What do you charge for these?
All right.
I think it's ridiculous, folks.
You go ahead, and one day is $40, the weekend is $60.
Two days for $60.
And we bring people from all over the world, very powerful, and people feel the presence, they tame the miracles, and then it kind of really...
You've had Scott Hahn, you've had Jeff Cavins,
yes,
you've had Anna
times.
Nuzzo,
mm-hmm.
You've had some very well-known Father Don Calloway, you've had some very well-known speakers and continue to do so. Kevin Matthews is coming back, so is Father Calloway, so obviously there's a lot going on at these Total Ears conferences, and I mean, that's why I asked you to come on the show, because I just think there's so much good you're doing, but I think you need to up the price a little bit because...
Very good. Let me give you the number, too, in case...
Yeah.
630-279-8424. In case you don't have the website, you can just call us 630-279-8424 or otherwise the website medj1.com, and you could sign up. They're incredible. Renew that, recharge that spiritual battery and give glory to God. And
that's totally yours, folks. Okay. Well, I think that's about it for today. So God bless you. I'll be back on Thursday. Father Coys will be here tomorrow. And, until then, God bless you all. Thank you for being here.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. so obscure. It does not take that long, can you see?